Again, our scripture reading comes from 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when there will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they keep to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables.
It has been said that there are basically three kinds of itches. There is the common itch, and this, of course, is the itch where if you scratch it for a little while, it goes away. Second kind of itch is the sneaky itch. And that's the kind of itch where if you scratch it, it just kind of seems to move around and you can never quite find it and fix it. And then, of course, the third kind of itch is the under-the-skin itch. And that's the kind of itch that you can itch and itch and you just about tear the skin off and it never seems to go away. Well, God had something to say about itching in 2 Timothy chapter 4, especially verses 3 and 4. He said that there is a spiritual kind of itch. Well, what is this kind of itch that Paul had in mind when he penned these words? Well, if you've ever had an itch, and I think most of us have at one time or another, we know that an itch is something that is uncomfortable. If you think back to the last time that you itched, it was something that irritated and bothered you. Paul said people have itching ears. Well, of course, that statement is either literal or it's figurative. There is no third option. And Paul did not have in mind any kind of physical problem. Itching ears refers to a spiritual problem. When people have itching ears, they want a different message. And that's not surprising because of how the Bible describes itself. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, we have a passage which is familiar to most of us. The Bible says, for the word of God is living, it's active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces asunder to the dividing of both soul and spirit. A sword is not a toy. At least it was not to the people in the ancient world. And that's why the Hebrew writer was able to compare God's word to a sword. As a sword, if we look at the scriptures from this perspective, we know that it can. And it will pierce the hearts of people. An illustration of that is found in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 7. When we think back to Stephen, the message that he communicated so effectively, it turned people into a mob. They were very, very angry, and he died because of it. Truth, and especially truth from God, can and will anger people. Because that's the power of the gospel, there are quite a few folks who would prefer to hear something else. In different parts of the New Testament, we find statements to the effect that the gospel of Christ is offensive. Paul said that in Romans 9, verse 33. Another writer, Peter, made the same point in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8. Both of those writers said that the gospel of Christ, the truth, the word of God, was a stumbling block to people. Even in the Corinthian letter, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23, as Paul opens that document, he told the Corinthians that the cross was offensive to some. Well, now that's important because when Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, Paul said to that young evangelist, you preach the word. And you preach the Bible in season and out of season. That is, whether people want to hear the message or whether people do not want to hear the message. And with some, God's word is out of season. Just as an animal might like us to scratch its belly or scratch its back so it feels better, so there are some people in the world who like ear tickling. Not only do people like that, but sometimes preachers like it. There are in our world ear tickling preachers, but these fellows are not new. They have some ancestors. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 17, in the first part of the verse, there are those who corrupt the word of God. That is, there were people who preached a message that God didn't authorize. Well, why would people do that? Why would people, when they had God's word, say, we're not going to use it, we're going to pick up a different book, and we're going to use it? Well, one reason is that that's what people wanted. They wanted a different message. And we certainly, as we look at our day and time, find that there is information being given out that's exactly like Paul described. Instead of talking about sin, we have a generation of preachers that like to discuss successful living. Instead of repentance, we have a lot of preachers, many of whom are on TV, that just want to talk about right relationships in the world. A lot of the preaching that's being done, and sometimes within the church, is lightweight, shallow, convictionless. This past week, I became aware, doing a little channel surfing one evening, of a nationally known preacher who was talking about shakes. And I thought, I have seen it all now. But here was a fella, again, widely recognized. If I called his name, just about everyone here would know it. He was offering a program, and I imagine that ran for at least 30 minutes, on how to burn fat and stay in good health with a high-energy milkshake. And he got on the apron and rolled out all the kitchen supplies, and it was all there. Can you, for one moment, imagine Jesus pulling his disciples aside one day and saying, "Hey, fellas, let me show you something. Today I'm going to show you how to mix up a high-protein milkshake and get your day off to a good start." That's not the picture that I find anywhere in the Gospels of Christ. When preachers start talking about health and weight loss, though, people tune in. They're interested in that. People will flock to that kind of thing. And yet, that's not what God said, tell people. Rather, as you look at the preachers from ancient times, or you look at the preachers in New Testament times, those people said, "Thus saith Jehovah." We have a message from God. Here is what God's word has to say for your life. And there are consequences when people begin to tickle the ears of others. First of all, there are the issues of authority and obedience. If we preach, if we offer instruction in an ear-tickling message, we have involved ourselves in a different gospel. Paul said plainly in Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9, that making that kind of choice, preaching a message which is other than a message that God has not authorized, brings us under to divine condemnation. Now, it's certainly true that hellfire and damnation is not the theme on every page in the Scriptures. We don't find that. But neither do we find spineless preaching. The Bible says in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, that the church is subject to Christ. In those same verses, we are told that Christ is the head of the church. And the head of the church told an inspired apostle in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that ear tickling is wrong. 2 Timothy 4 verses 3 and 4. Now either we believe that and we teach that, we obey that, or we do not. If we're not willing to obey the Lord's instruction, whether it's through that apostle and those two verses or any other passage, then there's really no sense in coming to worship. If we're not going to do the way that God has said do it, then there's really no point in coming, because we're not going to be really involved in worship. Making people feel good gives pleasure, but it has no eternal value. Suppose a religious teacher in our day and time can help accomplish what many believe to be key points. Through this teacher's instruction, we can right all of our earthly relationships. If we listen to this man, or maybe this woman, and we buy their tapes and buy their books, we can solve any issue related to family and friends. Just like that. And through this same series of teaching, we're able to become financially secure. We feel good, we have all the right friends, we have financial security, and none of those things are wrong in and of themselves. I can go back and pull out files where I have preached in all three areas in various sermons. But there are people in life who concentrate on these areas and similar points and never move beyond them. If you look at a lot of the preaching that is done in our day and time, or if you look at a lot of the books that are now being offered, you find an emphasis on becoming debt-free. And there is instruction on how to be drug-free and dirt-free and doubt-free, and depression-free, and defeat-free. All those things that people want for our day and time. Well, if this is all people receive, what do they have? Jesus answered that very question in Matthew 16, verse 26. Do you remember? He said, "What if a man gains the whole world? What if a man has all those relationships right, and he has all his financial ducks in a row, and all those other things are in place?" Jesus said, "How is that man helped if he's prospered in all those ways, but he loses his own soul?" That question still needs to be asked today. Ear-tickling preaching is all about the here and now. It does little to nothing to help in the afterlife. Shallow preaching does something else. It creates another problem. It discourages Bible study. When Christianity is just reduced to learning how to feel good, we really are not involved in much study. In fact, most people do not feel too good when they really have to sit down and hit the books. Several years ago, you may remember this. Maybe you read the book. Maybe you have a copy. But a little volume was produced entitled, "I'm Okay, You're Okay." Well, God says that we're not okay. We need to study about our problem. That problem is sin, and learn how to fix it. But in a lot of places, sometimes even within the church, doctrinal preaching is simply out of style. Those who come do not want to hear any information about worship. People certainly do not want to receive instruction about salvation, and they certainly don't want to hear information about Christian living. Attendees do not want to hear the word hell ever mentioned. The attitude is, "Make us feel good, and we will come, or we will like you." Preachers, and some even within the church, have sought to tickle ears so that they can be popular. But you know, when you look at the Bible, preaching has never been designed to be a popularity contest. Preachers are to take the truth, they're to speak it. To speak it kindly, and yet speak it boldly. God didn't create a role called preaching so people could become comedians. Preachers are not, as we look at the New Testament, psychologists or people who get up and offer a bunch of anecdotes. They are not motivational speakers in the sense that the world uses that particular term. They are not people that Jesus commissioned to offer positive thinking seminars or ego massages for those who happen to hear them. But they are people who do their best to communicate the Word of God and avoid the ear tickling that Paul condemned in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, if we're preaching the Word, or we're teaching the Word in a Bible class, then sometimes those who listen will feel stung. There are going to be times people at different times will say, my toes were stepped on today. Or maybe they say, my ears got boxed. Well, that's not surprising because God's Word burns. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. In John chapter 6, you may remember that Jesus was offering some instruction. And do you remember the result, the consequence? There are people in John 6 who left. When they heard what the Lord had to say, and he didn't holler at them, he wasn't mean to them, but he simply communicated the truth. He refused to tickle the ears, and there were people who abandoned the Lord. As I think about John 6, I'm reminded of some old whalers, hardened fishermen, and one day these whalers put into harbor, and they attended a religious service on the way out. As they were talking about what it was like to worship in this particular place, they had never been there before, and they made this observation amongst themselves. We heard a nice sermon, but the skipper had no harpoons. Well, that can be said for a lot of the religious preaching and teaching that's being done today. There is a lot of information that goes under the guise of religion, but it's really a false gospel. Here's another example, and you can find this one. Hopefully you don't have the book. But Robert Schuller wrote a book on self-esteem, The New Revolution. If you were to look in this book on page 68, and I think this is true for most, if not all, the editions, he describes or refers to the new birth. Now, we're familiar with that. At least we should be, because Jesus talked about it in John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5 especially. Well, Schuller's definition for the new birth is creative at best. And here is a quote from him. He says, we must be changed from a negative to a positive self-image. That's what he says it means to be when Jesus is talking about born again. He says being born again means that we move from inferiority to self-esteem. Being born again means that we move from fear to love. It means that we move from doubt to trust. Now, folks, how to preach? If you communicate that to people in the world, they will say, that makes me feel good. That is helpful to my life. But you know, that's not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was talking about people who were lost in sin, people who have a wrong relationship with God, people who are going to die without God unless they're born anew. And that's why he said that in John 3, 3 and 5, a parallel to Mark 16, verse 16. We hope that people have a good image, a good self-image. We're not opposed to that. But you know, ultimately, self-image has no relationship to salvation. I like what someone once said about ear-tickling preachers. One man called them ear-wallet ticklers, and that by and large seems to be the case. Men preach a certain way because they're paid, and they're paid well to do it. Even though many look at America and they think that we are a Christian nation, the sad truth is that we are not. If we take an honest look at our country, we have multitudes of people who say, yes, I'm willing to have a faith. Yes, I'm willing to have a religion, but I want my faith and my religion, my God, to be a feel-good God and a feel-good religion. Thousands upon thousands of people in this country have built their faith upon a faith that is an ear-tickling faith. If and when people are exposed to the gospel, and I've seen this at times, and I'm sure some of you have as well, they are in a state of shock. I have sat across the table from people, and we've opened up God's Word and looked at some passages, and they simply cannot believe what God's Word says. They look at passages, I didn't know that was in there. I need to read that again, because I have never heard that in my life. Telling the truth of the gospel surprises and shocks people. What if an ear-tickling preacher said to those listening to him, oh, some big givers are going to be lost? Wouldn't be received real well. Or that same man, what if he said financial contributions will not get you into the kingdom of heaven? That kind of preaching is not done. That kind of preaching is not going to be acceptable. But you know, Jesus preached in that manner. He did. You remember from the book of Mark, in Mark 10, verse 25, what Jesus said about the rich? More difficult to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. But if you're an ear-tickling preacher, that's not going to be a passage that you use. Ear-tickling preachers say that we can get to heaven on a lot of different roads. But you know, that's not what Jesus said. I am the way, the life, and the truth. John 14, verse 6. Human religious traditions are deemed acceptable by ear-scratching preachers, but Jesus didn't believe that. He offered a scathing rebuke in the 7th chapter of Mark. But again, ear-ticklers can't and will not do that. Preachers are asked in our day and time, not to discuss certain issues. Don't deal with divorce. Don't talk about gambling, homosexuality. There are a number of issues that you simply have to avoid if you're going to offer instruction in this place. Leave those items to the talk show host like Jerry Springer and preach smooth things. A growing number of people, and it's sad to say even within the church, are not willing to hear the information that God has for men and women and their respective roles. But you know, instead of namby-bamby preaching, God says that we are to declare the whole counsel. That's the way it was done in first century times, Acts chapter 20, and that's the way that God wants us to continue to offer instruction today. Ear-tickling preaching does not cause people to really sit up and think about Christian living. But you know, Bible preaching does. In Acts 24, verse 25, Paul was before an official, and the Bible says that this apostle reasoned of righteousness. And he talked about self-control. And then he discussed the judgment to come. And that doesn't sound like a lot of ear-tickling. That man who heard the information, he heard enough. If we have any interest in religion at all, it must be the faith that God has given, that faith which has been once delivered unto the saints, Jude, verse 3. And whether that information is information that we want to really hear and abide by, that's not material to the situation. What is material is that we understand that information and we apply it in our life, because there is no other way. Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" We need to hear his message, we need to heed his message, and we need to abide by it day by day. Is this the choice that we have made in our life? Have we said, "Lord, I'm going to look at your word. I'm going to see what it says. Not depend on what somebody else has told me, but I'm going to read those passages for myself. As I turn those pages, God, and as I look at those verses, I'm going to do my best to live out what I find in thy word day after day for all my days." Have you made that choice? Or have you decided that the smooth way, the ear-tickling way, is the way that you want to live? That's not the way to life. Because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." For us to have him, we've got to stay with the truth. And today we hope that's the choice that you've made. Not always an easy choice, and certainly it's not always a popular choice, but it's the right choice. And we make that choice by believing in God, accepting Christ as the Messiah, being willing to turn to the scriptures and live as they describe. That's repentance. And once we're willing to confess or acknowledge that Christ is going to be the Lord of our life, the Bible says all those bad choices, the sins from the past, they're washed away by baptism. Acts 22:16. "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on his name." And once we've taken those steps, we continue to live according to the Bible the best that we can each day of our lives. Are those the choices that we've made? Do we need some help? If there's any way that we can aid you this morning by helping you take that final step of being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, or by helping restore you to the right path, we invite you to let us know as we stand and sing the selected song.